interview with Virginia Foley Porter in Maeslick, Kentucky, on January 27, 1987. The interviewer is Lynn David. I haven't heard anything about the latter. Now, you said we were living on Raymond Road, mm-hmm. and it's called Raymond Road. Why? Why is it called that?
Because May Raymond owned the land on both sides, all of it, all back into there.
How far down? Quite a ways?
Well, he had a lot of somebody, and Mitchell's, they gave their farms one farm to that one, one farm to this one, the farm over there where the Coles live,
mm-hmm.
that was part of it, it belonged to, and the one where Dealer Tail lives, that was somebody, that was a part of it.
That was all part of Raymond's farm. About how long ago was that?
Mitchell's.
Long time. Mm-hmm. Now you said
that before emancipation, imagine.
Yeah, okay. You say this was part of the Raymond, this house was part of the Raymond?
Uh-huh, family.
And they told you ghosts lived here?
I found Oscar because that Mrs. Holder always comes. She was his niece. Oscar Raymond and his sister Nanny or something like that. Either Annie or Nanny lived here.
And what?
And this house was, this was a brick part, and there was a breezeway through there to the front. And this part had this was the kitchen, and that was the dining room, and that part of that where the bathroom is, and where the china closet was the porch. And we went through that into the other part of the house. But this got so bad that we tore it down. This was a story and a half brick. We tore that down in 77 and remodeled and built this.
And built this part of it new.
Because it was those bricks were getting all this off. Because the bricks were made from the dirt on the back of the brick barn. See the brick barn belonged to it too. They were made here.
So everything was made. So this house probably what, over 100, 150 years old?
It was built before in 1800, before Civil War.
Before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. You said people told you the ghosts lived here. What did they tell you about them?
Oh, I was going to see an old white horse, and I was going to see that, but we never seen him here. I called Uncle Oscar and boots squeaking, but we never heard any boots squeaking.
You never seen the white horse?
No, we never seen anything. We had a white horse of our own, but we never did see it in the house.
So the white horse was supposed to be in the house?
Oh, they said to be on stair steps. That's what somebody told us. They said, you're going to be back in there, you're going to hear it. Ain't that ain't there rocking. But I never heard anybody rocking.
Maybe it's because you tore that part of the house down.
Well, the front part of the house, we weren't going to hear her rocking. You could be back here, you know, you're going to hear her rocking. But we never heard anything.
I've never heard of a white horse up the steps, have you?
I never did either. I didn't know that. But yet, I know we had a pony once that came up the steps. I mean, on the porch, but that's as far as it went.
If you saw the white horse on the steps, was it supposed to mean anything?
No, it didn't say. Mm-hmm. I know when I came here, didn't have any locks, keys. And I used to leave town, go into the post office, and come running back. My sister said, okay, you run back in there, you can find something in that house, you don't expect them.
Never did.
I never did. She said, anything going to bother me?
Yeah.
And I never did.
Well, shoot. I like a good ghost in my house. I think you could give it a little character.
I just haven't ever been afraid like that.
How long have you all lived out of here?
58. We bought it in 57.
It's a beautiful old home. It really is. It's so pretty.
I knew the Foxes, Mr. and Ms. Fox, and their children. And the boy, youngest boy lives in Florida now. Fort Lauderdale, wherever he lives. And once in a while he comes by. But he comes on.
So you bought this from the Fox family then?
We bought it from the Cunning.
Cunnings.
Mr. Cunning bought it from Foxes. And then it stayed here for a tenant house for several years. And we got Mr. Cunning. Mm-hmm. Mr. Cunning owned that over there where the Conways are.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Last time we had it on Ms. Watson looking at, you know.
Uh-huh, yes, she was.
June Watson White.
Yeah, Mae Watson was looking at it. Well, it'll show up. If it does, you can give me a call.
It's
a book that tells all about this house.
Uh-huh.
All this land around
here. On down to the Deer Lake there in town.
Yeah, way back, I don't know, way back in the 80s.
This is part of the old Lattimore property.
Do you know anything about the Lattimores at all? Or just what you'd read?
That's what I read in there.
Now you call it Deer Lake, and yet it's called Maeslick today.
Uh-huh.
When did
they used to come down there to get salt lake. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the story. And it's right down there where the cover is. Of course, you can't tell where the cover is.
Where what is?
That's where you get to the Roth House. Where that branch comes down.
Uh-huh. And that's where the lick was supposed to have been. When did they change it from Deer Lick, or do a lot of people around here still call it?
Well, Mr. Mays owned this land. There was a Mays. Mr. Mays owned it, so they just began to call it Mays Lick.
But when you were growing up, did you hear it called both Deer Lick and Mays Lick? Just Mays Lick.
I heard all this story later.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about your mother, Mary.
Mary Foley.
Mary Foley. And and what was your father's name?
Grant Foley.
Grant?
Grant. And he worked for the Parkers and Shankers. He died when I was 3 years old.
So you really didn't know remember your dad very much, Sam?
I remember they used to tell me about it.
So your mom raised you, and was there any other brothers or sisters growing up? What was her name?
Ramsey.
What was her first name, though?
Her name was Ellen.
Ellen.
Her son lives up in their house by the Baptist Church.
Oh, okay. I know where she lives. Her son.
I know her son lives. That was my sister's son.
And then you had a brother. What was his name?
My brother's name is Henry. And he lives in Washington. Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, I went to visit Henry.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we had a good visit. Yeah, he and his wife. On 62. Uh-huh. I was out there this week and saw them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had a ball. Lovely, lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your grandparents at all?
No.
Never knew either one of them?
Grandpa Parker. James Boss Parker. Died when Mama was 10. And see, Ma raised her.
What was her name?
Grandmother Henrietta.
Uh-huh.
Henrietta Parker. And she was kind of like a midwife. She went stayed with the ladies when the babies came, always stayed a month.
So
that long time, that's what they did.
Yeah.
She was kind of a wet nurse, we call them a nurse or something. Midwife, I don't know whatever it was, and when babies would come, she went around to the houses, stayed there to take care of the youngster and the mother, and she always stayed a month, because at that time, the women didn't get up and walk around like they would have. Lay up the second day and gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, did she do this for black families and white both?
She
or
did for white.
Just for
white? I wasn't there for anybody, I reckon, because that's where she went. Mm-hmm. She was going to parks. Then she had a heart attack.
Oh, so she died going to someone's home?
She died on, what do you call that road? After the corner of Parks. Fox Row, after you pass the, what do you call it, Zuba Place or whatever it is.
You call it Saki Place?
Saki, house, Saki. And you turn, you keep on that road, follow the road right,
mm-hmm.
And when you get out there, just about a half a mile, through that's a Fox Row. And you go straight on to Johnson Station on one and take the other to Helena. She died there.
Well, for heaven's
sake. On that hill.
Well, you know, Henry was telling me, Henry, yeah, Henry was telling, said that there was a mill out there.
Uh-huh, was.
And that they carried her to the mill, but by the time the doctor got there, she was gone.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
I remember him talking about that.
Spring. And there was a spring there. What do you call that? Spring Hill. Something like that they called it.
Oh, did they?
Called there was a spring down there in that, just below there.
Down below in that?
Like we got a spring over there. It's never gone dry.
It's got sweet water in it? Do you still use it?
Got all this stuff.
Huh?
Yeah. Show the water out there?
Yeah. That comes out of your spring.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember any stories your grandmother told your mother, or did your mom ever repeat any stories she heard about them as they were?
About
your grandparents?
Heard it. Well, she told me a lot of stories about them all getting together and going upon Absalom. You heard Absalom? Heard of Appleton Creek up to the door, Bluelix?
No, I haven't.
Aunt Nellie or somebody lived up there that belonged to it. See, my grandmother, did Henry tell you where my mother's parents lived?
Uh-uh. No, you tell me.
some people are kind of funny, don't mind. I don't mind telling it, making a difference. Dr. Esplan's house now, that red brick house?
Yeah.
That's where my grandma and all lived.
So they lived, they were?
They lived there, they belonged to the Wilson. Miss Ann, John Tom wasn't on that farm then. I think it was always a big place. 500, maybe 1,000 acres. Everybody owns a land then. And that place had the iron fence around it, you know. It was a beautiful place. Of course, I can't say it's not beautiful now, but it doesn't didn't look like it used to.
Yeah.
And of course, the Clarks had bought part of the yard and got the house built there. Uh-huh. So that was a part of the yard. And up there, that's where the cabin was, a little farther up, was some of the barns or something, or whatever, but the mama didn't live there. Mama didn't live there, but grandma.
Grandmother did. Now, was that before?
That
yeah, but was that before the Civil War or afterwards?
Before Civil War.
So they were slaves on that farm then.
And they always talked about the, those slaves, Mrs. Farr, because Mr. wasn't there with them.
Well, good.
So many of them were so mean to them.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, great-grandmother, Mary Branch, I think she had 8 or 10 children there. There was Uncle Ben. Oh, they were, and of course, back in that time, all of them were half-sisters and brothers.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were all there.
And her, and she went by the name of Branch then.
My great-grandmother named Branch. And my grandmother named was Power.
So that's the way they kept track of who the father of each of the children were. Well, then the Wilsons didn't sell their slaves then, did they?
No, they kind of kept them. Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of, was that unusual, or do you know?
I don't know. It sounded nice because I used to hear about them. They're so mean to them.
Did she tell you any other stories about?
That's one of the stories. So that one of the girls named Abby. Little girl, she really was sick, and said that one evening about dark, she was upstairs, and she put on Miss Priscilla's bonnet and was in a chair just rocking away. And some of the people went up there, somebody went up there, it's like scaring Bill. So the chair was rocking out, and you see this little tiny person in the bonnet way down in there just rocking away. I used to laugh about that. Mama was talking about Abby scaring Miss Priscilla. Well, they didn't have much light in the houses with candles and things.
Yeah.
And it was dark. And the chair was gone. You couldn't find it, could you?
No, it's here somewhere.
Yes, it's here someplace. Yeah. I think it's around that.
Sounds like my house.
We've moved so often. See, we got the upstairs, front part upstairs, and things torn. Everything I wanted, put in the next room and in the hall. And before that, when we built here, well, everything was put into the garage or in front part of the house. We really don't know where everything is.
Sounds like me. Well, now, when they were freed, did she say anything, ever say any stories about when the war was over and they were freed? Did they stay on the land then and help the Wilsons, or did they go somewhere else? Or?
Well, Paul's father, she didn't have that first time, but they all did real well. I think they all gave him something to live on, and Mr. Wilson and Miss Annie for years would still provide food for Grandma Branch. And Grandma stayed with one of her daughters.
So.
And he would always live on from there, do without anything.
So slavery wasn't good, but with the same token, they couldn't have, if they had to be slaves, they had a fairly decent life. Did you ever hear where your family originally came from? Did they ever say? Or maybe not even knew.
And
but
I never did know about Papa's. Well, he's in Bath County. But I went up to visit one time. Oh, I'm in my 20s, I think. And Papa's first cousin. They all around town, Owenville. And when somebody goes in, they all know where they come from, you see.
Yeah.
And this man at my property. He was rather old at that time when I got there, but he saw me coming in, my cousin coming down the street, and he said that, told me that Papa was, he liked him, and he was a wonderful fellow, a good worker, and said, if you want, I hope you'll do some accounts like he is.
That makes you feel good.
He was earnest, he told me. Papa used to work for him. He left it back when he was before. He was, he had to be young because Ian Long Marion was 22.
You don't, you have any, remember when they got married?
December. The day before Christmas, the day after, I don't know which. And I have the light that he gave me for her second birthday. I mean, second wedding.
Your second wedding anniversary.
It has a, it stands, it's a pen light. Stands up real tall like that. Mm-hmm. It's got a, I'll show it to you. It's got a,
That lamp is really beautiful that you showed me, and that was the second wedding anniversary mm-hmm. gift, and you've kept it all these years. You say your folks had four children,
mm-hmm.
but one of them died.
The second child died when they were living on Parker's. They lived on Parker's out there where Sandy.
Uh-huh, Sandy Parker.
Sandy Parker, and they lived, she had, Papa had measles, the baby took the measles, and it went into spinogyitis, and the baby died.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa always felt so badly about that, Mama said,
yeah.
that it just worried him to think that he had caused child's death. He said he had. And then when he died with pneumonia. And when he was sick, he never called me by my name. He always called me Ruth. She always her size.
That was the name of the baby?
Uh-huh, that was the name of the baby that died.
Yeah.
And I was always Ruth. He never called me Virginia.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. Mama
said.
Often talked about that. She said, "Reckon she kept that in mind all along."
Now, your mom was left alone with you small children. How did
uh-huh.
she support y'all?
So.
I had heard she was a beautiful seamstress once.
She sewed. Mm-hmm. And we did odd jobs. I think about children now, not doing it. And when I was that size, when I ran errands for people up in town the road. But see, I live there in town.
Uh-huh.
I ran errands for a woman. When I was 19 years old, I was, spent nearly every morning during the summer down to Mr. Henry Crickrack. They lived there in town. He was in confined to bed.
Uh-huh.
And I was there. I went down there and I answered the telephone, gave him his medicine, just did everything like a little woman.
So you really helped nurse him then uh-huh. when he was so uh-huh. sick?
I did those kind of things. I even, as Mr. Crickrack said, had me try cornbread. I made cornbread.
I love cornbread. So each of you were bringing in some money then to help your mama
mm-hmm.
keep the family together.
And then I sold newspaper. My brother sold newspaper before I did. And then when he got left to school, well, then I sold them.
Now, did you sell them on the street corner or go house
to
house?
No, house. I did. I didn't.
Yeah. What newspaper did you all sell?
Grip. And he sold something called the Blade. Where was that from? Chicago, I think.
So
I sold Grit.
Even in the winter, you were out selling the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
or just in the
yeah, all year round.
I've been cold.
Every Friday.
Now, did you go to school?
Uh-huh. Went to school, a little school. I started in the little school behind church. That's where that was our first school.
That little gray building that's
uh-huh,
back there.
Right there. See, that land was given to us by Mr. Mitchell. I said us, I mean
yeah.
our group.
Yeah.
For a house and a church, so build a church in front and put school in the back. And then after all of us went there, Mommy went there. And we all were there, and we were there, and I was there first grade. And then the men in the town, there was a lot of us, our people right here, then we had one real successful farmers, and one man ran a barbershop. In fact, we had two barbershops. One fellow ran a barbershop for the whites. That was uptown.
Uh-huh.
They ran a barbershop for the blacks, which was in the alley.
Do you remember the men's names who were the barbers?
Mr. Bill Taylor ran the shop for the white folks.
And who ran it for the black people?
Johnson, Ed Johnson. Mm-hmm. I remember the name. And then we had a storekeeper, Jim Hicks. Have you heard about him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My brother worked for him.
What'd your brother do for Jim? Everybody in town's talked about Jim Hicks.
Jim Hicks, uh-huh.
What do you remember about Mr. Hicks?
Oh, just good. My job, Jim, wherever you've been. I haven't seen you for so long. You haven't been to, I thought you were in town the other thing. Yeah, some kind of made-up town, he's saying, he'd always saying. I haven't seen you for a long time. I thought you... Oh, yeah, some kind of funny name town. He would say he'd think we were where you were, but he hadn't seen you. And maybe he'd seen you the day before.
But he liked kids, and it was real fun. You said your mother went to that school. Now, was that school built when your mother was young, or?
Uh-huh. That was built right after slavery.
Was there any problem in the town with building it?
Not at all.
I just wondered. I know in some southern towns there was problems when the blacks wanted to build schools and go, that people tried to keep them from doing it, but there was no problem here in Maze Lick.
I heard anything about it. It seemed like they didn't want it because too many people like Mr. Wilson around, I think.
Well, and you said Mr. Mitchell. Which Mitchell was that? Do you remember?
It's Mr. Billy Mitchell, and I don't know where that was. The same Mitchell as down on Blatterman's. I don't think it was Jane Mitchell.
Even after the slavery issue was settled and the Civil War was over with, there was always good rapport, was there, between the blacks and whites in Maze Lick?
I always thought it was.
You didn't have any trouble of the Klan riding or anything like that around here?
I never did, but I heard Mama speak of how free they were at night. Mama grandmother was very free. She always put blankets over them. She just wasn't satisfied. Didn't want a bit of light show it after dark. That's what Mama said. But she's always afraid. So I read them. Maybe they had been tormented somehow.
Yeah, but as far as you remember, there was always this good relationship between the two races.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten that impression from other people too, that
uh-huh.
there wasn't.
Seemed like it was, but one strange thing was when I started teaching, I had a group that moved in, and most of them were very, very fair. All of them had pretty hair. And the youngest little boy looked just like he didn't belong to us at all. And he was he was in my room, and the superintendent came in. Oh, there, that child. He was sitting by his sisters, but his sisters weren't as white as he. And they looked at him. And when the superintendent walked around the room, and I wondered if he just didn't say anything, just kind of walked around the room like he's thinking, you know. And then he went to the door, he said, I want to speak to you. So I went out to see what he wanted. I told him, I said, what's wrong now? He said, who is that child? What nationality is that child in the back seat? I said, well, he belongs to us. I said, he's sitting there with his sisters. Mm. And say more, walked all the way.
You didn't believe it.
Uh-uh.
How old were you when you started teaching?
20.
Did you go away to school?
I went to Kentucky State.
And that's down where?
Frankfort.
Frankfort, yeah, okay.
And then I finished the one back for summer school, and 5 summers I had my degree. And I stayed home for about 4 years, and I went out to Indiana University in Bloomington. And in 5 years' time, I had my master's.
You worked awful hard. Education was important to your family then, wasn't it?
I had my master's, and then I worked on, I came back here, and we went to school. Taught until integration.
What?
Integration in 62, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. Did you teach after that then?
He placed all of us.
Who's he?
Mm-hmm.
Your superintendent?
He placed the principal in high school. He placed one girl in Michigan. He placed one in Washington, the one who taught in Pauline Washington. Placed her in the accident system, and would have placed me, but I had Kathleen was a little room. I didn't.
You want to stay home?
I did not. So he got me a EMR class.
What's that?
It's retired children.
Okay.
So I had that for the next 12 years, and it was in Maysville. See, they all work together.
And there was no problem on integration of teachers either then?
I think I was probably not one of the first ones down, I think.
Well, that's good. That really is.
Mm-hmm. And I went from stayed there in Broadway. Broadway was such a nice little school. And then on to Woodlake. And then when they built a school out here in the county, they moved me out here because I was county teacher.
Yeah. Now, what grades did you teach?
Ages, I went from 6 to 12.
So you really had to know a lot of information about a lot of things. And
it was just ages, 6 to 12, for the handicap class.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, then, my mistake. I was talking about when you were teaching out in Mays Lick. What grade did you?
I had primary, first, third, and fourth. When I first started, I had four grades, first four.
Wasn't that difficult, teaching first through fourth all at one time?
Well, it wasn't for me, but see, I had always gone to that type of school, and I just,
so
myself.
You knew the system.
So I just came back and made my schedule and everything. The same principal was there that was there when I went to school.
What was his name?
Her name, she was Ms. Boyd.
Oh, her.
Ms.
Excuse
Boyd.
Me.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Elizabeth Boyd?
Uh-huh. I taught with her for until she retired. I always said I wasn't going to teach until I got that sick. So she was sick. I said, I wasn't. Mama said, oh, yes, you will. I said, no, I'm going to stop before I get that sick.
How many kids were in the school out here?
Oh, at one time we had 128 with two teachers.
You all?
I always had 60, and at several times I had 72 and 74 children in one room.
You had your hands full.
Uh-huh.
Am I correct that somebody told me, I don't know whether it's right or not, that your mother did all the book work for the school, or kept the books, seconds?
Oh, yes, she did. She sponsored, she was secretary of it. They started out, they called it the league. And they changed it from the league to the improvement league, that was called it, and moved, changed that name from that to PTA after we had three or four teachers.
How did the community raise the money to keep the school going? I mean, you had to pay for your salaries and
no, the county did that. See, we just got to bought the land and started to build it, and the county stepped in and helped too.
Oh, well, that was good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we could ever build that.
What about the school books and things?
Oh, they furnished the books. Everything just went on like that.
So everything was furnished for you except,
uh-huh.
Well, that helped.
Yeah,
well,
we bought, they furnished the desks and things, but we had to buy our books for a long time, like they did until the free book system came up.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. And see, then it county consolidated school after Douglas School. See, then we consolidated with Helena.
Okay.
And later on, we consolidated with Lewisburg.
Now, how did these children get to school?
The school bus.
So,
we get two school buses.
Now, are we talking about bus, automotive buses then?
Uh-huh.
That came in? Before that, how did they get there? So kids would walk as far as from Helena and Lewisburg?
No, not from Helena and Lewisburg. They came on bus. They
okay.
Had some type of buses, just had regular bus and bus driver.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
they put in a lunchroom. We had lunchroom there too.
Who cooked the lunches?
We had a cook. And treasurer or secretary or something, that way I had to take care of all of them. Keep all the little 2 cents milk bottles and things together. Mm-hmm. We had all of our own trays, stoves, everything.
Who was your cook?
Orlie. Miss Lawton. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
She was very good. Very good.
So the kids got a hot lunch at noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you do, like tobacco harvest, or did the kids leave school?
Yeah, a lot of children, boys didn't get in. Sometimes some of the bigger girls didn't get in until October, or second week of school, or something like that.
And then what'd you do, try to catch them up on what they had missed out on?
I didn't have that, and see, I had first grade.
What was that the rule, they tried to catch these children up then?
The principals, usually if a child's pretty bright, then he ain't not going to be too far behind. Before he's slow, he's going to be behind everything.
Well, then education among the black community here was very important. I mean, if you had that many children, they really realized.
He had to be real. They realized that things had to be real because you didn't have time to stop and discipline all the time. They had to be quiet.
Yeah.
For you to get through all those classes during the day. And they knew it. Sometimes little kids slip and sleep, sometimes they work, and sometimes those who are real bright would be doing the work of the class ahead of them too.
Well, that's good though.
Sometimes those two, three, a couple classes more in a room, Yes, I have.
That the children really will pick up.
Yeah, they'll pick
just
up
on their own. Uh-huh. And
I know what went on, and I knew a lot of things that went on in history. I sat there and listened to it. I knew it. I knew that before I got to it. When I got to it the next year, I already knew it.
You know, I think kids are capable of learning more.
Uh-huh.
Than they're.
Well, that's why some of us, sometimes us, we mm-hmm. finished, we weren't 14 when we finished 8th grade. Sometimes we were 12 and 13. We had already
got
them. Some of them had caught up on things.
Now, what did they do about high school then?
Oh, Mom had sent me to Frankfurt.
Where'd you live in Frankfurt then?
Stayed in the dormitory on campus. And they had a camp. They had a. At Kentucky State, it wasn't called Kentucky State, KNII, Kentucky Normal Industrial Institute.
So they made provisions there for
high school
students.
Yeah. You could go there freshman. But see, I went there as a junior because they would, we had, when they built a new school, I should say, they made that a training school. I left that out. And we had 2 years high school here.
Oh, you had it. All right, and that's where Cacklers is now, right?
Uh-huh, where Cacklers is now.
They build where Cacklers is now. Where did they build that school?
That's the one we built. That's where my mama worked on already.
So you were what?
In 20s. Mm-hmm. Or 18. Unless Cacklers taken down, it's over the door up there.
Okay, well, I'll look.
Uh-huh.
So you went there the first 2 years, and then your folks sent you on to the institute. You Frankfurt. Did they have to pay your tuition, or did the state pick that up?
No, Mama paid it. No, they didn't pick it up.
So you all had to come up with...
See, I think if you'd gone to Lincoln Ridge, I think some of my Ethel went to Lincoln Ridge. I don't know whether they paid them down there or not.
You don't remember how much it cost to send you to Frankfurt?
All I remember is something about $20. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It must be sort of hard being that young and being away from your mom and your family.
Oh, I was so homesick. I wanted to come home. Of course, I wouldn't have to come home. But you see, the dormitory burned in December. The time I got all settled in nice dormitory burned. I jumped. See, four girls were lost in that dormitory that was there in Kentucky State. And
they don't know what caused the fire?
It started in the trash elevator. December 13th, I think. Yeah.
And you had to jump then?
Yeah, I jumped. Uh-huh.
How far up was it?
I had a mattress, third floor. Yeah, I was on third floor. That's where I told her I got the star.
My Lord, I'm glad that's all you got. I
mm-hmm.
It's a wonder it didn't kill you.
Uh-huh. And of course, I got. I don't know what I hit. But it must have been a big tank. Something sat down there near the ground. I must have swung me against that just to fall. Something I don't know. I saw him down there with the mattress and the bar. I said, jump. I let loose and went. And when I said, I jumped off the mattress and took off the arm. I reckon that was all right.
Oh.
I was very little at that time. Mm. I mean, about being 15, see, 16.
Did your mother ever say anything to you about going to school here? You know, my mother said, well, when I went to school, we did such and such. Did your mother ever make statements like that about when she went to school here? How it was different from when you went?
I often talk about how good they were in handwriting and things like that that we went. They didn't have some things that were, they had that we didn't have to see their teachers and instructed them in. She might have his handwriting. Mama had a group of handwriting, beautiful. Make the prettiest capital of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Even this portion when she was 90-some-odd years old, she could still do it.
How old was your mom when she died?
91.
I knew she was up there, but I didn't realize that she was that old.
And Walton said that she hadn't had heart and arteries, and it just slowed her down.
I first to tell you, though, all over town, I've heard nothing but praise about your mother.
Oh,
Everybody I've talked to has said, oh, you should have known her. She was a gracious lady.
Well, I'm glad you know that they...
Yeah, very highly thought of.
Well, she was a worker. She used to, we'd get plays and charge at the door. Of course, that went on school dinner. And then they had Thanksgiving dinner. That was one of the biggest things they had. They would give children would ask, you know, would bring in, tell what the parents were going to bring for dinner, donate, what the donations would be. And there was one lady in town, Miss Mary Lewis, and she lived on Charles Pike, that I got some, made a lovely cream candy. And she always bring gallon after gallon of that candy. She would brought sugar. And she'd bring that, and she, of course, they had cows, and she'd make, she'd bring the candy. And that always brought so well.
Oh, I bet it did, because it's delicious.
And then sometimes they'd have a farmer's market.
What's the farmer's market?
Well, everybody would bring in the greens, the beans, potatoes, or whatever they happen to have, and eggs and things. That always sold well, too. That went in there. Then they had a Chautauqua week they had.
What's a Chautauqua week?
Chautauqua, that's what the principal called it at that time. They sold, they different times they'd have a speaker for each night. I would bring in a speaker, and he would speak for each night, and of course take up collections like he would at a church meeting, and all that went on in the school.
What would they talk on?
So, I don't know. I was so young. Talk on all about always giving us information and telling us how what we could do and how we should act. And, moral building, I think.
Yeah.
The same thing now, I reckon, if they have when they bring in someone to the high school children to...
But they'd have a whole week of it at a time.
A week of it.
In charge of mission.
In charge of mission. Now you can do the silent night. One group in the head, but the parents are all divided into clubs. They had a Bisbee club, Old Glory club. In fact, I think they had another club. I know they had a Bisbee and Old Glory. I think they had another one. These clubs used to give entertainments. If they didn't have anything but fish fries once in a while or something like that, or to have little musicals and sell. See, the ladies used to make their sherbet, pineapple ice. What about other fruit they put in this ice? And yellow, something like peaches. What is that?
There's pears, peaches, pineapple ice?
Pineapple ice and
lemon ice? Orange?
No, it's something like a peach. You mash up and put in something.
Apricots?
That's it. Apricots.
That sounds good.
And they make them in their transplant eyes. And they down eggs. And all they have the best time to do where the salad's going on. And that money would all. That was, let me see, that'd be Mom, Mr. Hicks, Mr. Bill Taylor, Mr. Bess Clemens. Yeah, and who else were some of the main ones that did that? Oh, yes, Mama's Mae Washington. That was Mama's stepsister. And all those people would get in there, and they would count this money and put together. Somebody, Mama would be going to the bank, Mr. Hicks, rather, would be going to the bank with it the next day. And that's where they were. They were.
But that was also a social occasion, wasn't it? I mean, a chance for everybody to get together.
There were a lot of people there then. Had to be there then, sure to be in school.
Yeah.
Some children live way out here. Some children live on my farm. And they walk to school, walk back, walk and go on every road. There was two different groups of children walking in. See, don't have anybody now.
Yeah. No, all of them are gone, it seems.
And that's just about where I don't think anything else.
Was the church an active part of your life growing up?
On Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. It started on Saturday afternoon, shining your shoes and seeing that you...
Which church did you attend growing up?
And seeing that I knew the... what's that other one? Oh, that little poem of Beyond the Card model. Seeing that I knew the poem, that, whatever it was. I always knew that and knew the scripture. I knew the number, name of the scripture and the verse.
You had to remember, you went to Sunday school and church then?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have Wednesday night church too, or just Sunday?
Well, they had prayer meeting. I think they did, but we never went to that. It was dark, and so Mom got all of us in, and we stayed in.
So she was a lot like her mother. When it was dark,
uh-huh.
You were to stay home and...
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear any ghost stories about Maze Lick?
Yes, there used to be supposed to be a bridge down there. They said they used to see a big man walk down the middle of the road. Said it wouldn't move either. I don't know who it's supposed to be, but I'm always stopping at her father.
Where was this then?
Down there. Did you pass a house, two-story white house, that had little wheels at the gate? And had some trees and things in the yard. It's the fifth house from here.
Back towards Maze Lick?
Uh-huh. On this side. Just as you come out of town.
I'll look for it.
Now, I think he had some wheels. But they're not big ones like the one we have. Yeah. Professor Bill's there, and he's got some cedars planted, about four or five of them there by the edge of the branch.
And that's where the ghost was supposed to walk, huh?
That's my home base. My niece lives there now.
Okay. Yeah, I know the house now. I read.
You know that now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's where the ghost was supposed to be.
Well, they used to say that the lady used to work over to Pete's house. That's used to be Pete for him, too. Said that she had to get out of his way. She just walked down to the line still walking. Somebody said they spoke to him one evening. Said, he didn't say anything. I reckon they did. Mom often said she wouldn't say anything when people were saying, tell them. But she said, later on, after I got over, she said, I think that's all.
Did she ever say she'd seen it?
Uh-uh. She never seen it. Uh-uh. But she and Papa were sitting on the steps one night. That's where we built the porch. And she said there was a... You know, you're supposed to see them in moonlight.
Uh-huh.
And if they walk through the water, they disappear. Well, this season I heard this man walk down by the fence. And she said she could hear his pants from blue jeans. I don't know what kind of material that was. She used to talk about Lindsay and jeans. I don't know what the Lindsay was. Do you?
No, I don't. I've heard the term Lindsay, but I'm not sure what it is.
And she said she... heard that rubbing, and he wore boots. She said she heard boots rather, and she said that she looked over and she said she started speaking, and Papa punched her knock teeth, and said she thought it was somebody coming down through by the yard, and after that the branch didn't see no one.
Your dad saw it too then?
And Mama saw it. They both saw it. And she said, I said, what did you do? Come on, let's go in.
I think he was smart.
And she said, that's what they said. You see, when they get to the water, don't see him. I don't want to see him.
I've never seen one.
I haven't seen any. Mm-hmm. And they also say that you see him in men used to haul tobacco.
Uh-huh.
And they used to be scared of death. They used to haul tobacco with horses. And he said that he knew somebody had jumped on the wagon. Well, she looked back and worked about it.
Now, who said that?
That's one of those tales that you should tell back there. Mama told it. She told
Mama.
Me. Said that knew that very well that somebody jumped on that wagon. Well, they looked around and didn't see anybody. And said the horses seemed to know it too, because they kind of shy and began to hurry up. Seemed like animals know those things to say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But I was certainly glad when they changed the road. You'll see that you don't need to go around those North Park hills like you used to see. Of course, you don't know anything about that.
Uh-uh.
Straight up. It used to be before they made they cut out all those bends. There'd be more tales still back down the line. What you saw.
We're talking down around where the Barb Boone lives, down in there, Henry?
Down there by...
By Ross's house, where Judge Ross used to live?
No, we see down the bridge. You know, you go down to the bridge where Doogie's is?
Yeah, down Doogie's, down in... Okay, down in there.
Uh-huh. He runs right straight up the hill now, but Steve used to follow that little road and go on around and around and around and come out up there where the, I don't know where the dumpster comes out. Anyway, some of them based up in there used to come out.
What kind of tales they used to tell about that?
Oh, boy, you saw more things down in there. So they said.
What did you see?
Tobacco men going taking tobacco to market. You know, see, they had to take out on the horses and had to leave early mornings. Or they came back at night. Horses get shy. And Mama said this man said something jumped on it. I don't know if he's calling or not. Somebody something jumped on his back. Said he heard it. Well, he just knew it. Mm-hmm. And the fact of nothing. But the horses seemed to shy and hurry. I reckon they did know it.
Well, they say animals sense it.
Oh, okay. But I've never seen anything. I don't know.
Never seen that white horse on your stair steps?
No. I never heard no Boston boots with either.
Well,
but one thing, sure, they said he always kept black snakes in the corn crib to kill the mice. And there were black snakes here. Black snakes, diamond black snakes. When we came out here, I kept a whole one for you to kill them. I think the first year, I don't know how many I killed.
Oh, for Lord's sakes. Mm-hmm. Did you ever find any in the house here? Thank goodness.
But the woman before here said that on that porch, she went through there, said there was one up on those rafters. She came out. She said that it was there when her last child was born. She's coming out to her husband's going to take her to the hospital.
I would need to go to the hospital.
Well, she didn't have it right then.
Oh.
But Herbie had shot him out of the trees.
In the trees?
Uh-huh. And in there. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Shot him out. Shot him out there one day at noon. And they hit the ground flop, just like it weighed 10, 15 pounds.
No way. Oh. No way.
I'll tell this one, and maybe I'll shut up. We were, on the first yard after we came, we always had something extra put in the garden, and Herbie, we had black-eyed peas. I never eat them, but I don't know about them at all, do you?
No, I don't like them.
I didn't think I would either, but anyway, they grew so well, the prettiest vines, all vegetables, everything. And they had them down there in the garden, tomato vines, and onions, all that. And I'd run out in there to get myself an onion for dinner about 11 o'clock, and those vines go like that. And I'd go one back the next day, and I went to get a tomato and an onion. I went out there and got myself a tomato, and the vines went with me like that. And I said, Herb, what's happening in the garden? The vines are coming out. Go, the vines do that. Herb said, oh, seeing rabbits.
They like your black-eyed peas.
Well, Sunday morning, he was cutting the weeds around the garden. He had to grass up, and all of a sudden began to yell for me to bring his shotgun. I came, went down there, I got the shotgun and ran out, and he killed a snake, and the snake was big around my arm, big old black snake.
Ah.
It just blew it apart.
Good thing he's a good shot.
I said, well, look, he's big around. Don't you come down here. Don't you come down here, he said. But I went to see who he was shooting.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's my...
That's what made your vines move.
Uh-huh. Baby snake. I mean, baby...
Rabbits.
rabbits.
Oh, shoot. We've had them in our yard, but I haven't killed them. As long as they're not in the house, I don't bother them.
I see. Okay.
I fear they'll eat the rodents.
I'm afraid they may get too close to me.
Yeah.
I had that hole out there. Of course, he took it when they were cutting back, and I hadn't been back since. Well, I haven't had killed wolf panthers for a year.
Yeah, you probably got them all wiped out. Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, did you ever hear about the Knight Riders?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear any tales about them or see them ride or anything?
Never see them. Mm-hmm. I was in around here enough, did I ever see them.
Do you remember hearing any of your parents or friends, parents or anybody talking about the Knight Riders?
No, No, Mama wouldn't talk about things. She didn't. But she said they were, they'd have the places. But I never did.
Yeah. Mama sort of protected your kids, didn't she?
Uh-huh.
Kept.
Yeah,
wanted did. Everything to be safe for y'all.
Because we were there by ourselves, being afraid of that. Scared
well, of course, y'all weren't farming, so you probably didn't have anything to do with it. I keep hearing stories about a fairground around here, or a fair committee, a black fair committee that had
fair.
Had
it.
Where was
Paul
that?
Was in that. See, Paul was that's Mama's father.
Uh-huh.
Tim Parker had played in the band. See, they had band too.
Oh, they did. Okay, I didn't know that.
Let me see, Mr. Jack Story, Mr. Hicks, and Paul, and Aunt Eddie. Oh, I can't name them all.
What was Eddie's last name?
Uh-huh.
Eddie who?
Mama's brother. He was, well, look, he was, Paul took him along. He played the sax. He beat the sax. And Mr. Hicks, Bill, I think Paul beat. Mom used to tell us all about that, how she used to shine and clean his boots for him to go play in the band. And they played this fair. And they had a fair up in, I think it's up in Wilson Woods. Wilson's from nice people.
So behind what we call the Estill House now.
I reckon so, back in there.
Was where the fairground was. Was it blacks and whites or all blacks at that fair?
It was separate. And the blacks had their own thing, I reckon the whites had theirs, because this was the only thing I remember when I was a little like Rammy to death going up there one day after school to the fair.
What all did you see when you went to the fair? What all they had?
Oh, you saw little calves and head swings and, oh, I don't know. So much I couldn't see. My sister was leading me running so fast, I didn't know far.
Was it a professional group that would come in then too? Or?
I don't think so. I think it's just more like a big picnic for us. Sounded like it.
Yeah, everybody get together and then what they show the animals,
uh-huh, show the animals.
And
uh-huh.
And play the band.
Uh-huh. Band always played. Yeah. Let's see, I know Mr. Mama, you tell him who played it. Paul played some bass drum. No, he beat the bass drum. Jimmy beat the snare drum. Somebody else, Mr. Hicks, beat some loosened kind of horn. And most, Mr. Taylor White, you heard about him, man, the blind man.
Yeah, did he play this?
He played violin. He used to play all the time. He was there and put bombs in chairs, you know. I don't have any here that he bombed, but that's what he did. Uh-huh. And ran the store, and he took care of it. And could walk all the town. In fact, he lived here when he was before slavery. I mean, before Civil War.
So he was a slave on.
He
was a slave on this property.
He used to like for the Mr. White. He sit on. What's these things they have built? Stalls.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They used to sit on the stalls out here when he looked.
Was he blind even as a child?
Uh-uh. He and his brother, Frank. And some of them like tell tale about when they brought him here. I reckon that's when I must have been Uncle Oscar. brought him here. They lost him. See, they had a buckboard up around Carlisle. They got in here and didn't have it. So they had to go back and look for it. They found him up there, around someplace around Carlisle, I think, where they lost him on the road.
But he fallen off of it?
I fallen off. Mm-hmm. Off the buckboard.
So he wasn't born around here then?
No, I don't think so. Nor man.
Do you know what caused his blindness?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why he was blind?
Mama always said scarflow. What is scarflow?
I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
How do you spell it?
I don't know. I didn't know. But that's all she always mentioned. So that's what caused it.
Scarflow.
I've seen people with scars on the neck and through here, and they said it's scarflow. Yes.
I
don't know. Just some name that they slaves made when I was born.
Did you ever hear any other stories about the slaves around here, or from other people, or about emancipation, or how they felt about the war?
Well, I know Mama said that Grandmama said she cried so hard, so Miss Annie came out and told her, said that your last egg had been shot. I said, Mama said she just cried her heart out.
Yeah.
She heard that. She was a teenager.
I suspect she did. He did so much.
She cried when she heard that when Miss Annie came out. Miss Annie, like Queen Victoria.
She wasn't very pretty then, was she?
She was. I don't remember anything about her, but she had these little mop and hair right up in there, you know. I thought she looked like Queen Victoria. And she had these, you know, the long dresses, you know, this apron over top of the dress and everything like that. The way she talked and got around, I thought she looked like Queen Victoria. Of course, she had little kids. You know, they can compare.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and adults always look bigger than they really were.
Uh-huh.
Or older.
Mm-hmm. I always liked her because Mama liked her. Never, always said nice things about her, you know. And of course, I reckon Mr. Russell has been dead, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't heard her called Queen Victoria. It gives you a good mental picture of how she must have looked, though. Did you ever hear of any lynchings or murders around Maeslick? Whether Maeslick was a peaceful town or whether it was.
I haven't heard of
him. Not recently, you know.
No, Mama, I imagine she had perhaps had.
The alley has changed a lot. Was there businesses along the alley when you were growing? Now, you said the barber shop was there. Was there other businesses?
The barber shop was up there in the corner. Right up there, you know where it turns, so you go up there and turn left and go to. Out to
68. Uh-huh, yeah. Behind Miss Gertrude's house.
Uh-huh, right there, uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, wasn't anything else. Miss Sarah White had a store, Miss Hicks had a store, and the two barbershops.
Now, Mr. White and Mr. Hicks' store were on the alley then?
No, Mr. Hicks' store is up there where, Mr. Hicks built that building where Guy is.
Guy Coles is?
Uh-huh, Guy, Kurt Courtney.
Yeah.
Miss Hicks' store. He built that. Of course, he didn't have those shingles on
him. Yeah, yeah.
But he built it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then where Mr. Taylor's barbershop in Burns, he made it to Burns Place.
I've heard about the Burns. Were you around where any of the fires took place?
Uh-huh. Had a big blacksmith shop and everything. I just think that was one of those places, the apartments up there.
Where was the blacksmith shop?
Right there at the corner where... Ben and Barry and him keep the store, keep that right there at the edge where
Painter's store used to be?
No, right across there where
Mr. Woods' store is now?
Uh-huh. Right there. Mm-hmm. It looked like a big building to me. I thought it was a big building. Mm-hmm. You see horses in there, mules, and the animals, what I like to hear.
Yeah.
And Mr. Buckhannon. Bell Camp or something. Van Camp. He'd better be there with his leather apron on and he would just throw it and hit that thing and then see the sparks fly. But she couldn't stand there and watch. She had to walk on. See, children don't go to we didn't stay around like these children. We went on about our business.
You were allowed to stand and watch him work it.
Well, you know you weren't going to be standing around there because they told you to move on and your parents got hold of you, you certainly get hold of it. But these parents don't seem to have too much of kids anymore.
No, it seems lost control. Was ever a hotel?
Oh, yeah. We got a hotel across the road from the bank, right over there where the filling station is.
Do we have any other? That was called the Darnell Hotel.
Darnell Hotel.
Do we have any others in town?
Not the moment. That's a hotel.
No. Uh-huh. Now, when the black people came to visit, could they stay at the hotel, or where did they stay?
Stay with their relatives.
What if you didn't have a relative in town? Who would you stay with?
Uh-huh.
Just nobody came to stay with a relative. Okay.
Oh, then the preachers came in. Why? About the only ones that didn't have relatives would be some preacher looking for a place, and he stayed with some of the deacons. My mom and I just keep them. The papa was a deacon.
Yeah, I heard your dad was a deacon in the church.
Yeah, he was a deacon, so they used to keep them. They used to, when Mama never lived out on Parker. Mama said they'd walk all the way out there and stay.
That was a long way to walk.
Oh, but they'd be there.
Well, if you needed a place to stay, I guess it's worth a walk, isn't it?
They'd be there.
Did you ever hear of any distilleries around Maeslick?
Moonshiners.
But no distilleries, per se. Was moonshining at one time a pretty lucrative business around here?
It must have been, because it seemed like that when the revenue officer named Manning was here by every Monday morning.
On Monday morning? Was that a good day to catch them?
Well, I see they'd because Miss Van Drunk's on Sunday, you see.
Maeslick had a big problem with drunks when you were little?
I don't know. One time they had the little property. They had their own jail and had their own marshal.
Who was the marshal? Or that was for you? That was for you were.
My time.
Yeah. It's always a good place to have a place to put your drunks, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know the row houses, the one on the end, you know, Painter's old store, and then there's a vacant lot, and then those three houses, brick houses, right together, the white ones?
One house in them.
What was in those when you were growing up? Did people live in them, or were they stores, or what?
Well, there was, who lived there? A woman who ran the post office. Lived in the one that, got the vacant lot there. And it used to be a post office was right there.
In that vacant lot?
Uh-huh.
That was where a post office was, it was.
Between those two houses. Between that house that has a little, those two houses that were right there were doctor's offices.
The two little houses.
Uh-huh. They were Dr. David and Dr. Nancy.
And then right between those, there was a post office?
Uh-huh, a post office. And I told that to some of the people back right there. I said, well, I went up there all the time. Mama started sending me to town when I was 4 years old. I certainly didn't know I went there.
Yeah. Now, the brick houses that are all attached, do people live in those, or were they stores?
Ms. Ross, she had, there was Tommy in there. I can't remember the name. But anyway, she lived in that first house. And Ms. Van Camp. Lived in the next house. And the next house, I remember going there for my vaccinations and shots at the health office.
So there was a health office in there?
I don't know what it was, but the health nurse just come up there. And all of us would go up there and get our little arms buried out and get our little shots before school started.
So that wasn't a home then, at least when you were growing up.
And they used to, and once in a while that would be used as a classroom. I don't know why the school was a while the high school down there, the white school, the old crowd, the woman, and look at all the health classes up there.
Okay, well that's...
And you should get a classroom.